Mike's songs. By the way, my sermon this morning will probably be a little bit shorter, so that's going to make up for Mike being a little longer last week. So I think we're going to get a. I think so. We're going to be able to smooth that out a little bit. So always be patient, because you never know. The next speaker may not always go as long, and they'll make up for it. Mike's songs this morning were about love, as you could tell. But that's not what my sermon's about. But I will say my sermon's probably about tough love in a way. And I think you will find out very quickly what this is all about when I say this. Open your Bibles to Matthew 25 if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. I will have the scriptures posted as I go through them on the screen if you want to follow there. So either place is just fine. Matthew chapter 25, I want to talk about the parable of the talents. A few weeks ago, well, I guess it's now a couple weeks ago, Matthew 26 was part of our congregational reading, and Charity and I were listening to this passage of Scripture, and it was just like, it's like I heard something for the first time. Reading it many times, it's like I heard something, and it's like, wow, I need to make a sermon out of that. So you got a sermon out of it, and I guarantee you that whatever I say this morning, many people could add to it. So just bear with me. These are just a few of my thoughts for the lesson today. Now, Matthew chapter 25, of course, is in a broader context. It actually starts back to at the beginning of Matthew chapter 24. And then I got to thinking about it, and I said, well, actually, it's a broader context that actually starts back to Matthew 23. But I didn't want to go back that farther because Matthew 23 is part of a broader context. But in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 1, it appears that let's just say we take a kind of a traditional approach, and we would say that Matthew 24 maybe Wednesday or that Thursday. I got to get my dates right or my days right, but it happens during Wednesday or Thursday, if you would, probably Wednesday of the final week. And Jesus had been in chapter 23, as you know, basically gave the scathing rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, and so on. And of course, there's the very powerful lament of Jesus over Jerusalem at the end of Matthew chapter 23. And it's at that point that Jesus leaves the temple, verse 1 of 24. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. From what we know from archaeology and what has been written, the best that we can tell was, you know, this temple was beautiful. I mean, I don't think it compares to Solomon's temple by any means, because just the sheer amount of gold that was used by Solomon and all that was there. But this was beautiful. The temple grounds, the temple itself, the buildings, from what all I understand, were quite beautiful. And Jesus, of course, says, but he answered them, you see all these things, do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be overthrown. And so, whereas they were like, hey, look at the beautiful buildings, Jesus would say, hey, they're all going to be torn down. And, of course, obviously, if you were asked a question and somebody gave you that type of answer, your next question is going to be so you're saying this is going to come. When is this going to happen? Verse 3. And as he said on the Mount of Olives, disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming at the end of age? And of course, I will let you deal with all the debates around three questions, two questions, and how things are answered. I clearly think, in my humble opinion, that I think Matthew 24 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And I think much of chapter 25 is talking about perhaps a parallel of being ready for judgment, but talking about times later. Nonetheless, let's get into Matthew chapter 25. I like to pick up with, obviously, the beginning of the parable of the talents to jump into it. I want to start by reading a section, and then I want to break it down for you, and then we're going to read another section, break it down, and so on. And then I have just four slides at the end to kind of wrap up the lesson. The English Standard Version, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, I want to start by breaking down this first section, if you would. I call out a few pieces that are important to my lesson. One is chapter 25, verse 14 begins with, for it. You have to ask yourself, what are we talking about? It, right there. What is it in this context? Well, it in this context is if you go back to chapter 25, verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven will be like. And what he's talking about here now is the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, one thing that we see in the parable of the 10 virgins is the necessity of being ready, for you don't know when the brides or the groomsmen will come. And that's the main thrust of the verses leading up to this. But Jesus doesn't say in this verse for the kingdom of heaven, he just for it. So he's referring back to what he's already talked about in this context, and that is he's referring again to the kingdom of heaven. So we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven be like what? Well, he says about a man who entrusted his property. A man entrusted his property. All right, so we have that a man entrusted his property. So what this tells you is a couple things. One is that as we will see, but there are 3 people here, servants, as they are called, that are entrusted. In other words, they're going to be held responsible for what they are being received, what they are going to receive. This man had something to give away, entrusted his property. Now, we see talents. Now, talents could be many different things. We're not obviously the talent to be able to dance and sing and play music. That's not what we're talking about here. Talent in this context is clearly money, because the text says it's money. It's pretty easy, right? Now, it doesn't talk about gold or silver. It could be either or. Maybe, likely, it's silver. But the point being is that we're talking about this man had money. And the talents here is referring to money. So he's going to give money, a portion of money, to 3 different individuals. What we also see in verse 15 is that it spells out for us, if you would, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And that's important to know. There was a distribution. As you can tell, a quick reading tells you that these were not equal distributions. Did you notice that? They're not equal distributions. One's 5, one's 2, and one's 1. But did you also notice in verse 15 that at the discretion of the master, the owner, the man, it's his property, at the discretion of his decision, each according to their ability. That's important to understand. According to their ability. The 1 talent man is not responsible for the 5 talents. The 2 talent man is not responsible for the 5 talent man. And the 5 talent man is not responsible for the other 2 as well. Each according to his ability. Master smart. He's not putting more on one individual than that one individual can bear or can handle. Catch that? Verse 16. The 5 talent man, I like this expression, at once and traded. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. What I like about this is, did you notice? There was no hesitation. Went at once and traded. Now, of course, when I think of talents or money and trading, I think, of course, the stock market, right? I mean, that's, to me, that's what I think of. You may think of something else, but that's what I think of. I mean, some people may think in terms of cars or in coins or baseball cards or whatever the case may be. But this man took this money and at once without hesitation. I got to go and turn this around. So he went and not just made just another talent back or 2 talents back or 3. He went and made 5 talents back. Okay. Verse 17, the two who had made the two talents made two talents more. Doesn't say he went at once, but he goes and makes the other two talents. So he takes the two and he turns them into two as well. Now, I know Roger used to be in the financial world, 100% returns, pretty good return so far. First one's 100% return, five. Second one's 100% return, two. So far, so good. And then there's always those, as R.D. says, if is the smallest word, so but's got to be the second smallest word. But, and it's always scary when you read that in scriptures, but, because that means something not necessarily good's about to occur. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, he just takes the money and goes and digs in the ground, hides it. At this point, although you know the rest of the story, at this point, that's all we know, right? If you're just for the first time reading this, that's all we know. He takes it, digs in the ground. Now, you notice that all three acted, right? All three of them have done something. All three have been active in doing something. One at once went and traded. The other one just says he also made two talents. The one went and dug. Okay. All right. Ready? Next section. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. All right, let's break this section down, if you would. First of all, chapter 25, verse 19 tells me long time. In fact, if you go back to verse 14, for it will be like a man going on a journey. Man's going to go away. Now in verse 19 says he's gone away for a long period of time, and now he's come back. He comes back from his journey. It's time to settle up. He's the master. He wants his money back. He's entrusted his property to these three individuals, which, if you stop and think about, is a good term we use in finances called diversity. There could be another part of that could be part of another lesson, but we'll leave that at this time. Settles the accounts. In other words, it's time, if you would, for reckoning, right? It's time to say, okay, my money, give it back to me. What you got? What you got? Verse 20. I love verse 20. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me five talents. Here, I made you five talents more. I love that. There's something about that. It's like, okay, who's going to go first? Well, the five-talent man went first. Comes forward. So you kind of get this impression that perhaps, again, it's a parable, but you get this impression that everybody's gathered together, and the five-talent man steps up and says, here, Master, I have given you, you gave me five. I've got five more. I gained five. Here's your five plus the five. Verse 21. The response by the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I left out a piece here I should have included, and that is that what is the end result? Okay, you've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into joy of your master. You did well, good and faithful servant. The result is what? Enter into the joy of your master. Remember, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven, right? The kingdom of heaven will be like, for it is like. Let me see where. Oh, I did get it. It's up there. I was looking at the bottom. Enter into the joy. I did get it. Okay, verse 22. And he also had the two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I made two talents more. So, okay, I have made. Did you notice that's the same statement the five talent man said? I have made. Okay. I don't think that's arrogance. I'm just calling out as in the five talent man and the two talent man both did something. And he said, I have made. Two talent man, I've made. The master responds in verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Notice that the five talent man, who's responsible only for those five talents, the master says, good and faithful servant, enter in. The two talent man, who's only responsible for the two talents, the master says, good and faithful servant. Even though there was a diversity of differences, five and two, the master didn't say, well, two talent man, well, the one had five talents, made five. Why couldn't you make five? Doesn't seem like he was expecting him to make five by any means. He was expecting him to do what he could with what he had. You've been faithful over little, I will give you much. Enter into the joy. Let's continue. Verse 24. He also who had received the one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with my own interest. Wow. What a difference. Now, I think I could probably stop right here and you probably get the point, but I'm going to continue on anyways. Look at what the one talent man said. He comes forward as well, and he says, I knew you to be a hard man. What the five talent man knew, what the two talent man knew, I don't know. That's not the purpose of the parable. But if he was a hard man, I would think that the five talent and the two talent man both do the same thing. It's not like the master's character changed when he got down to the one talent man. Or the expectation changed. In fact, he describes him as reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scatter no seed. You're aggressive. You're willing to go, if you would, farm on someone else's property. And maybe even take their crops that you didn't even sow. That's what the one talent man is basically saying. So in other words, this master may be a little strong, if you would. I know a lot of people would just say, hey, look at the master, and that stands for Jesus in this. Yeah. But continuing on. So what was his response? So his response was, oh, I went and traded. No, I was afraid and went and hid. See, all three of them did something, didn't they? One went and traded, the other went and gained. Basically, that's all it says. And this one went and dug. So I went and hid. So I'm going to get back. What is yours? Did the master lose anything? Why don't you stop and think about that? Master got back one talent he distributed. But did he lose anything? The master says, you wicked and slothful servant. The other two were praised. You have been faithful in what? Little. Of the three, who got the smallest amount? He did. The other two, you've been faithful in little. I'll give you much. Enter into the joy. This man gets you wicked and slothful. You knew. Okay. Your own words. You knew that I reap where I not sown and gather where I've scattered no seed. You knew, okay, that's fine. You knew that's who I was. You knew that's the type of person that I was. Then you ought to have a minimum amount of responsibility is what the master is saying. There was even just a small amount you should have done. Knowing all of that, you at least should have put the money in the bank. And when I came, I would at least got some interest. And he didn't even do that. And he's condemned for not even doing that much. You see, the master did lose. Yeah, he got his one talent back, but he didn't get his interest. And so he did lose out on something. Now, what was the conclusion? So take the talent from him and give it to the man who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Take from what he had and give it to the one who had 10 talents. The one who has more will be given. We'll talk about that in just a moment. An abundance. The one who has not will even be taken away. And what's the end result? Cast the worthless servant into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like enter into the joy of your master. That sounds like something just totally opposite. Now, I got 4 slides. Remind me of my 3rd slide to hit the button. Okay. So, what is this passage about? I think you probably figured it out by now. And that is, this is about accountability and responsibility. I think there is accountability and the responsibility in the kingdom of heaven. The overarching theme I think Jesus is trying to teach in this parable is that we have been entrusted with something. We have been entrusted with the kingdom of heaven. We have been entrusted with the gospel. We've been entrusted to be responsible in the work of the Lord, in the work of the congregation in which we live and where we worship. We have a lot of responsibility, of course, in regards to our family, our jobs, and just basically, if you would say, life in general. But do we see ourselves as owners or servants? There is a difference. A servant is one whose life consists of taking care of something for someone else and waiting for the day that such things will be returned to the master. An owner possesses things and is entitled to do whatever he wants with them. And so for the things that God has given to us, we are responsible for those things, to take care of those things, to use those things properly, and to give an accounting back to the ultimate master in God and our Father and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. We all have material belongings. We all have our opportunities and even our very lives. All belongs to God. We are simply entrusted with them until the day of judgment. And we're accountable and responsible for that. Slide number 2. Opportunities, i.e. talents. We do not have identical opportunities or talents. I'm grateful because I think if we all knew how to cook, we'd just have too many cooks in the kitchen. And too many cooks in the kitchen is a bad thing. So I'm grateful that we all don't have the same talents because some people need to be cooking and other people need to be mowing the grass. And some people need to be elders. And some people need to be deacons. And some people need to be teachers. Some people need to be song leaders. Some people need to be the encouragers behind the scenes. Some people need to be help cleaning the building. It allows us a clean place to worship. Some people need to cook meals for those who cannot cook for themselves. You see the point? We all have different responsibilities. Not everybody has the same responsibility. And just like the 5-talent man was responsible for the 5 talents given to him, he wasn't responsible for 8 talents. Did you catch that? 8 talents were distributed. The 5-talent man wasn't responsible for the 8 talents. He was responsible for the talents that he was given. Notice that each servant was entrusted with unequal amounts of money. I've talked about each according to his ability. All are entrusted with something, but each receives a different amount. We should consider 2 things. We are responsible for what we have, and we are able to work with what we have. Each according to his ability. Jesus reminds us, after a long time, the master of those servants returned. Verse 19, the parable parallels a sure return of Jesus to judge us and a sure accounting of our faithfulness with what he has entrusted to our care. The return will consist of our own accounting of our faithfulness to God. Brother Kenneth Chumley, in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew, which is really good, by the way, said this: Christ doesn't assign to everyone the same responsibilities. I think we all get that. But he does expect everyone to take advantage of their opportunities. Each one responsible for your opportunity based on the ability God has given to you. We can be good servants. God has given us everything we need in order to be a good servant. There's not a thing that is lacking. God's given us what we need to be good servants. Now, granted, sometimes maybe I need some more time in the book. Shape my life, mold my life, as Romans 12 talks about, being conformed, right? Being transformed. Look more like Jesus, right? But our faithfulness is not contingent on anyone else's relationship with God. We will be judged by our own actions. We obviously don't ride the coattails of anyone else to heaven. The 1-talent man was not given too little to accomplish his faithfulness towards the master. He was only responsible for the one. He was given more than enough to meet the master's expectations. After all, the master said you could have just put it in the bank. But you didn't even do that. Brother Kenneth Chumley, talk about this particular verse, he said, he did not deliberately do evil. I like this. You talk about the 1-talent man. He did not deliberately do evil, but by doing nothing, he failed miserably in his responsibility. And you see that when the master says, at least you could put it in the bank. If you want to read Romans 12, 6 through 8, that passage talks a little bit more about abilities and gifts that were given by God. Lastly, it takes the right effort of faith. Success is contingent upon our work or effort of faith. I know Vance has talked a lot about faith, you know, a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of misteachings about faith, but our faith must work. James chapter 2 clearly says it. Our faith must work. Each servant did something with their talents, but only the 2 that put them to work did what was expected. Did you notice that? Did what was expected. God cares about our efforts and our pursuits. Our labors and deeds matter to God. And God expects growth and increase to be the outcome of our efforts and faith for Him. Read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. That passage tells us that, yeah, you need to be growing and continue to grow. The expectation is to do more than what we have. Or the expectation is to do more than just to sit still or just to dig a hole. You just can't dig a hole and stay in it. God's not going to accept that. Not acceptable. That's the end of the lesson. Thank you.